Title: Crash Design with Resampling at 170 BPM Intermediate. Alright, welcome back. Today we're doing crash design for drum and bass at 170 BPM inside Ableton Live using a resampling workflow. And I want you to reframe what a crash is. In DNB, a crash isn't just a cymbal hit. It's a macro transition tool. It's the thing that tells the listener, new phrase, section change, impact. We just arrived at 170, everything moves fast. And that means a random crash sample can easily feel either too washy, too harsh, or just not glued to your tune. So the goal today is to build a crash that's uniquely yours, and more importantly, one that sits perfectly in a dense drums plus bass mix. By the end, you'll have three variations: a tight bar line crash with a short tail and a punchy transient, a wide section change crash with a longer tail and stereo movement, and a darker, heavier crash that's distorted and textured but with controlled top end. We're doing it all with stock devices, and the core workflow is simple. Generate, print, shape, print again. Let's set up the session. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Now create three tracks. First, a MIDI track called Crash Source. Second, an audio track called Resample Print. Third, another audio track called Crash Final. On the Resample Print track, set audio from to resampling. Arm it for recording. Now turn on loop and set your loop length to 2 bars. Quick teacher note, 2 bars is a sweet spot at 170. It gives you enough time for the crash to bloom and decay without stepping on the next phrase. You can always shorten later, but it's annoying to realize you didn't print enough tail. Next, build the crash source. You can start from a sample, sure, but synthesizing it makes it feel like your signature. We're going to do a fast stock-only crash using Operator. On Crash Source, load Operator. We're going for a metallic FM-ish tone plus noise. So choose an algorithm where oscillator B modulates oscillator A. We want B feeding A. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Set oscillator B to a sine wave. Now bring up the FM amount from B into A. Somewhere around 25 to 40 is a good starting window. If it's too bell-like, back it off. If it's too bland, push it up. You're aiming for metal splash, not a pitch chime. Now shape the amp envelope on Osc A. Attack very fast, around half a millisecond up to 2 milliseconds. Decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Sustain all the way down, negative infinity. Release around 0.8 to 1.5 seconds. That gives us hit and fall, not a sustained tone. Add a subtle pitch envelope for that little initial smack. Enable pitch envelope. Set amount somewhere between plus 6 and plus 18 semitones. Decay around 60 to 120 milliseconds. That tiny pitch drop sells the impact. Now we add an airy noise layer. You can use Operator's noise oscillator if you like. The key is, high pass it so it's not filling your low mids with mush. High pass the noise layer around 2 to 4kHz. We want the air and fizz, not the boxy junk. Now we're going to build a quick device chain on Crash Source. This is not the final mix chain. Think of it like a crash generator we're going to print. First, EQ8. High pass around 250 to 400hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. If it's already getting harsh, do a small dip around 6 to 9kHz. Don't overdo it yet, just take the edge off. Next, saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then hybrid reverb. Pick hall or plate. Decay around 1.6 to 3.5 seconds. Pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds. And aim more toward the late reverb, so it's more wash than early reflections. If it feels brittle, darken the color slightly. Then utility. Set width around 120 to 160%. Turn bass mono on, and set it around 200hz. And here's a pro habit. Before you print anything, leave headroom on purpose. When you resample, aim for peaks around minus 6 to minus 3 dBFS. Crashes get spikier after distortion and widening, and if you print too hot, you'll end up using a limiter as a band-aid. We don't want that. Now let's resample. On your MIDI clip, program a single note on bar 1. Something like C3 is fine. The pitch isn't the key, it's just driving the sound. Record enable resample print. Hit record and capture 1 to 2 bars. Let the tail ring out. Stop recording. Now you've got audio. This is where crash design actually becomes real, because audio forces decisions. Go into the recorded clip and edit it tight. Zoom in and trim the start right up to the transient. Make it clean and immediate. Add a tiny fade in, like 1 to 3 milliseconds, just to avoid clicks. Now decide the length depending on purpose. For a tight crash, you might fade out around 300 to 800 milliseconds. For a section crash, Keep it closer to 1.5 to 2 bars. Now about warping. Symbol-like material can smear and get facey if you warp it the wrong way. If you don't need tempo lock, try warp off. That often sounds the cleanest. If you do need warp on, Complex Pro can work, but if it gets weird, try Complex or even Texture Mode. In Texture, try grain size around 70 to 120. And another trick, Beat Mode can sometimes be cleaner on noisy cymbal stuff. Set it to 1/16 and turn Transient Loop off. If Complex Pro is giving you that swirly top end, try Beats. Rename the clip something like Crash Print 01. Now drag Crash Print 01 onto the Crash Final track. This is where we make it mix ready, and where we can create our three variations. Let's start with a solid all-round processing chain. First, EQ 8, high pass somewhere around 300 to 600 Hz. In drum and bass, too much 200 to 800 area is the fastest way to make your drop feel cloudy. Then do a narrow cut for pain. Sweep around 4.5 to 7.5 kHz and find the point that makes your ear wince. Pull it down a little. If you want it darker, add a gentle shelf down from around 12 to 16 kHz. Next, drum bus. Yes, on a crash. Carefully, drive around 2 to 8. Crunch somewhere between 0 and 10%, depending on how dirty you want it. Transients. If you want more smack, go positive. If it's too pokey, pull it back slightly. Boom is usually off for crashes. Next, auto filter. Set it to high pass or band pass. And here's the classic transition move. Automate the cutoff so it opens into the hit. Even a subtle opening makes the crash feel like it's arriving, not just appearing. Next, chorus ensemble for width and movement. Amount around 10 to 25%. Rate around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz. Width around 120 to 180%. Then a limiter at the end. Ceiling at minus 0.3 dB. And only use it to catch peaks, like 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction max. If you're slamming it, go back and lower earlier stages. Now we do the second print, because resampling is the superpower here. Create another audio track called Crash Resample 02. Set audio from to resampling, arm it, and record the processed crash. Now you have a finished asset. You can reuse it, and it's yours. Now let's create the three variants quickly. Variant 1, the tight bar line crash. This is for phrase starts, like every 16 bars, where you want impact without washing the drums. Set the clip length around 0.4 to 0.9 seconds. Add a gate before big reverb, or gate the tail in general. Set threshold so it cuts the tail quickly. Return basically instant, 0 to 10 ms. Hold 20 to 60 ms. Release 80 to 200 ms. The vibe here is, punch, then get out of the way. Perfect for rollouts and drops where the hats are busy. Variant 2, the wide section change crash. This one is for bigger transitions like breakdown into drop or drop into second drop. Keep the length 1.5 to 2 bars. Add hybrid reverb after distortion, if you're using distortion, because distortion into reverb makes the wash denser and more expensive. Set decay around 2.8 to 5.5 seconds. High cut the reverb around 8 to 12 kHz so it doesn't fizz and steal attention from your hats. Then add auto pan very subtly. Rate around 0.08 to 0.18 Hz. Amount around 10 to 25%. Subtle is the word. We want movement you feel, not a crash wobbling left and right like a special effect. Variant 3. The dark, heavy crash. This is the Neuro, Techie, Jungle Grime version. If you're on Live 12, add roar. Use moderate drive, and if you can band split, focus the energy in the 2 to 8 kHz region. That's where regression lives without making it all brittle air. If you don't have roar, use saturator and maybe drum bus to push grit. Add redux lightly. Downsample around 2 to 6. Bit reduction 0 to 2. Subtle. If you hear obvious digital tearing, you've gone too far. Then EQ 8 again. Pull down some 10 to 16 kHz so it's darker. And if you want it to bite, a careful emphasis around 3 to 6 kHz can help. Careful, that's also where pain lives. Now, some extra coach moves that make a massive difference. 1. Treat the transient and the tail like two different instruments. Duplicate your printed crash. On one track, keep only the first 0 to 120 milliseconds. This is your attack layer. Mostly mono, brighter, minimal reverb. On the other, keep the tail, wider, darker, more movement. This gives you impact plus vibe, without the classic problem of wash all over the drop. 2. Check mono early. A crash can feel huge in stereo and vanish in mono if chorus or reverb modulation is too extreme. So while you're dialing it, put a utility on the crash and toggle width to 0% for a second. Make sure the core hit still reads, then widen it back up. 3. Make it key aware without making it tonal. If your tune is in F minor, for example, you can add a subtle resonant node near F, around 349 Hz, or a harmonic, but keep it subtle and keep it high-passed, so it doesn't turn into a gong. The goal is glued, not pitched cymbal. Now let's talk placement at 170 BPM, because this is where most people either overuse crashes or put them in the wrong places. Crashes work best on phrase landmarks. Bar 1 of a 16-bar phrase. Bar 33 if you have a 64-bar drop and want a mid-drop marker. The exact drop hit at the end of a build. And one of my favorites, the fake drop impact, where you hit a crash but remove the kick for one beat. That negative space makes the crash feel enormous. Here's a pro placement trick. Put the crash on the downbeat and add a tiny reverse lead-in before it. Let's build that reverse. Duplicate your final crash clip. Reverse it. Fade it so it ramps smoothly into the impact. Add auto filter and automate the cutoff. Start low, like 400 Hz, and open up to around 10k Hz by the end. Place it half a bar before the drop, or a full bar if you want drama, and if you want it to feel like it's zooming into the drop. Automate width too. Start narrower, like 60 to 80%, and expand to 120 to 160% right at impact. That reads as forward motion without adding any new instruments. Now, quick common mistakes to avoid. If your crash has too much low mid, around 200 to 800, your drop will feel cloudy. High pass it. If it's overly bright around 8 to 12k, it'll sound cheap and cause ear fatigue fast. De-harsh it. If the tail fights your hats, shorten it or gate it, or sidechain the reverb tail to the drum group. If the stereo is too wide in the low end, mono the lows. Always. And if you skip the resampling edits, your crash will often feel fake. Printing and shaping is what makes it believable. Now a short practice plan, 15 to 20 minutes. Make one crash source with operator plus noise and print it. Create three edited versions. Crash tight, under 0.8 seconds. Crash wide, 2 bars. Crash dark, distorted and darker. Then place them into a simple 64-bar layout. Bars 1 to 16, intro, no crash. Bar 17, crash on the phrase start. Bar 33, wide crash into the B section. Bar 49, dark crash plus reverse into the final push. Then bounce your crash folder as personal assets. If you want a bigger challenge, turn it into a mini pack. Make 6 versions, including a reverse-only riser crash, and save them with 170 BPM in the file name so future you says thank you. Let's recap. This audio version is shortened for playback.